It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Congressman Nick Langworthy on the line. Congressman, good morning.
Good morning, Joe. Great to be back with you.
Nick, obviously the last 10 days has been, for me, it's been very interesting to follow. What do you think about the calls for the current president to step aside on his campaign?
Well, it's just really ironic to watch the Democratic Party turn into a total dumpster fire and circular firing squad, as they're now trying to take out their incumbent president, who shows no sign of wanting to leave. I mean, his family, his wife seems to want him to hold on for dear life here. And, you know, many people around the country, particularly Republicans, have pointed out the president's frailty now for the last 4 years, 5 years, you know, questioning whether he was up for the job, who was really running the country. You know, he's running a very minimal schedule as president. And, you know, his performance on the debate stage was very similar to his performance in many interviews and in events. I mean, you know, misreading teleprompters. I mean, you know, he's shown signs of cognitive decline for years now. The fact that, you know, they were in a complete state of denial just because of their hatred of Donald Trump brings us to this moment. They cheated their voters of the opportunity to have a real, honest primary. And now they find themselves in this absolutely impossible situation, trying to, you know, shove a incumbent president out the door and still not screw up all the laws, because it's really not the convention that governs the nomination. It's really more 50 individual states' ballot access requirements.
Are you surprised by the people in Congress that you work with every day who have spoken up, or are you more surprised by the people who haven't said something yet?
I think the people that haven't spoken up yet is a little more telling. I mean, the people that have spoken up are mostly people that are in endangered seats that maybe President Trump has carried or will clearly carry in the next election. And, you know, make no mistake, I mean, most politicians are worried about their own bacon before they're worried about the presidential election.
Looking at the campaign ahead, obviously right now it's still Trump versus Biden. Congressman, if you had the ear of the president, or maybe you do, what would you say? What would be your campaign strategy as the Democrats are struggling to support the guy who's currently on the ticket?
Well, I think you've seen an extremely disciplined President Trump, who has remained pretty silent in this entire episode. You know, when your opponent is in free for all, just get out of the way and let it happen. And that's exactly what's going on here. You've got people turning on each other. You've got a lot of distrust being sown. You've got conspiracies and people having sidebars behind the scenes trying to figure out how they can leverage their power to try to influence the decision. But ultimately, there's one person, maybe two people in this country, that are going to make the decision of whether or not President Biden's going to stay on the ballot, and that's President Biden and Jill Biden. And by all accounts, he's not going anywhere. I think they got the worst of all worlds with the Stephanopoulos interview. You know, was he great? Absolutely not. He hasn't been great in 5 years, but he didn't make any major flubs and seems pretty driven to move ahead.
What do you think the chances are? Again, you're in D.C. More than any of us. You know how everyone there thinks. Do you think that we are going to see the president? Because obviously the Stephanopoulos interview didn't do for Biden what they thought it was going to do. Do you think we see President Biden in a media room? I want to say kind of like President Trump, you know, going on for hours, just taking questions from the media. Do you think we see that before Election Day?
No way, no how. I mean, I would be surprised to see him back on a debate stage with President Trump. I mean, he got clobbered. You know, he was outed as someone that, you know, can't carry a coherent thought. I mean, let's face it, this this man said that we finally beat Medicare. I mean, he lost total train of thought. He's trying to blame it on international travel, which concluded 13 days before the debate. He's not up to the job. But at the end of the day, he holds all the cards because they cooked the books and prevented a primary. I mean, look what they did to Bobby Kennedy, who was a Democrat. And Robert F. Kennedy tried to run in the primary. He had to become an independent to get ballot access because he got boxed out so much. I mean, they went so far as to deny him Secret Service protection. I mean, they're clearly afraid of a real legitimate challenge from a charismatic, viable candidate with national name ID. And this is what they get. They reap what they sow. You know, they did everything they could to protect a feeble and frail president that, you know, many have provided visual evidence. I mean, we were accused as Republicans of creating deep fakes. This is legitimate footage of the president, you know, falling down, the president, you know, completely losing his train of thought, basically falling asleep at international events, wandering off from other world leaders. I mean, these things have all been on display for the world to see. Our adversaries are watching this. And this is it's no wonder that we have the tumultuous nature of the world stage right now, where our adversaries feel emboldened because they see a president that they can walk all over.
You know, he is the president currently. It's interesting to me.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Me to hear people talk about the campaign, because, well, currently he's still the president and will be until January at the very earliest. You know, in that White House, we're hearing that his son, Hunter Biden, has been more present with the president. What do you think about that, given Hunter Biden's past?
I mean, here you have a total thief and a thug sitting there in meetings trying to claim he's protecting his father. He has no business there. He has no business privy to major international conversations. He's clearly a profiteer of government and should and will be prosecuted for what I believe are crimes of international agency without registering. And certainly will be prosecuted if President Trump wins this upcoming election, which I believe he will. Hunter Biden has no business anywhere near the White House. He should be barred.
Congressman, I know we're getting back to Congress. I have a few questions on that, but my final question, just so we have the soundbite, if President Biden steps aside, your thoughts on Vice President Kamala Harris if she becomes the nominee?
I think that she is responsible, just like Joe Biden is, for all the failures in this country right now. The rising cost of living that is absolutely crushing the middle class. I just left Wegmans. You know, I hear it every single week when I'm in there doing my family's grocery shopping from constituents that are just absolutely fed up with high prices while the president tries to tell us that inflation's come down and good times are ahead. I mean, prices are at an all-time high, and people are putting their groceries on their credit cards. I mean, this is not sustainable. The international, unrest that we have. I mean, we're closer to 1939 than we probably have been in my lifetime, and we have, you know, a country that is not better off than it was when President Trump was in the White House. So, you know, Vice President Harris, you know, she may be younger, but she's less competent than Joe Biden in his feeble state. So I say bring it on with that election and bring it on with that contrast. I mean, she's completely not up for the job. When she ran for the presidency in her own right, you know, not only did she call President Biden racist, she didn't make it to the Iowa caucuses. She never made it to the point where there were ballots being cast because she was such a failure as a candidate. So I think she'll continue that that fine legacy in a race heads up with President Trump. And, you know, God willing, you know, there are good times ahead for this country. If President Trump wins this election, like I believe he will, he's up in all the major polls, virtually, you know, exploding in his support post-debate. And, you know, we're preparing an agenda for America.
Congressman, looking back here at New York State, Governor Kathy Hochul has already announced that she will run for re-election in 2026. Your thoughts?
Well, I think she's got a really tall mountain to climb. I expect she'll take a primary from her own party. She's wildly unpopular. I mean, I know what she is in my district, and she is absolutely underwater here in her old home base of Western New York. You know, people know that she's been a failure as a governor. I mean, they see that she's done nothing but spend money on in doubling and tripling down on this illegal immigrant crisis. She has a platform that she could have used to help, you know, take the country in a better direction, and she's failed to do that. Really, I don't know what she would possibly run on if she runs on for another term, but I do expect she'll be challenged from the left as well in her own party.
Now, getting back to Congress this week, and it looks like the first big fight to take place in the House of Representatives could be the SAVE Act. Congressman, tell us what the SAVE Act is and the chances of it passing.
Well, I mean, we have a bill that will, you know, prevent non-citizens from voting in federal elections. This is just common sense. This should be a 435-0 vote in the House of Representatives. But by all indications, the headlines read that the Democrats are going to bring out all their big dogs to go campaign hard to defeat this bill. I mean, I don't know if there's anything that's more clear as to what side they're on, that if they want there to be loopholes and opportunities for illegal immigrants, non-citizens, people that work for foreign embassies to vote in federal elections. We need to safeguard our vote at all costs. We need national voter ID. We need stronger laws to prevent people that don't belong in our polls from voting for our leadership. And the Democratic Party has become the party of illegal immigration. They have brought us the lawlessness at our southern border. We have 10 million people that don't belong here wandering around the country. It's coming at great cost to taxpayers, at great cost to our U.S. Border Patrol that's working so hard with no support from the administration. And you know, there's many people that say that the purpose behind this is they want to make these people voters. And I think it's becoming crystal clear as this comes into focus, is they fight something that is so common sense. And here, as we celebrated the 248th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, our founders never would have supported us having illegal immigrants voting in our national elections. And these people today, you know, the modern Democratic Party wants to loosen our voter requirements to allow something like this to happen. It's asinine. It's disgusting. And everyone should take notice. No matter what letter is next to your name on your voter registration card, you have to ask, what side are your federal officials on? I want to make it abundantly clear. I'm fighting every day to strengthen our voter requirements, to fight for voter ID, to make sure something like this never happens again. I led the charge in New York State as the radical liberals in the New York City Council. They tried to pass local laws to allow non-citizens to vote in New York City elections. I took that to court with cooperation from the RNC, and we beat it because it's unconstitutional in New York. It's certainly unconstitutional to have non-citizens vote in our federal elections. We need to do everything in our power to enact this into law and to prevent this from happening.
I need more documentation to prove my residency to get car insurance than I do to vote. It does seem a little ridiculous.
I just had to have my daughter enrolled in camp, and I had to have, you know, probably a ream of paper to provide records that she actually lived in the township. I mean, the fact that they want people that come here and just, oh, you know, you are who you say you are. Here you go. Vote. I mean, it's absurd. It's just like it's as absurd as New York State preventing our federal law enforcement officials from accessing the DMV records because they've decided to give driver's licenses to illegal immigrants. Kathy Hochul said she'd fight against it when she ran for county clerk. She enacted it proudly and stands with it now. I mean, you have to ask yourself, what side are they on?
Congressman, that's the one that's getting all the attention. Anything else that you look forward to when you return back to D.C. this week?
Well, we're getting back to work. We're going to put them on notice and, you know, continue to fight the fight. You know, we're heading into the election season. So, you know, Congress, we're working on our appropriations bills to fund the government and cut spending. In order to do that, you know, we do need cooperation from across the aisle. People have to wake up and understand this country's $34 trillion in debt, and the crushing weight of the cost of living is because government has spent too much money. And we have to tackle that piece by piece. We have to get this economy back on track. And the only way to do that is to tighten the belt in Washington.
Congressman Nick Langworthy, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.